All right, so I got Heather. I'm going to mark Heather off. Is Annie here?
I don't think so.
No? What about Barbara? Is Barbara here?
Still no Barbara.
Really? Yeah. Julie, I saw Julie. There's Jules. All right, you're next.
I know Barbara was on vacation, so.
Ah. Okay, Julie. Oh yeah, I love how you did this. You like really, you put it into a spreadsheet. You there? Unmute yourself, Julie. I'm here.
Jules is muted.
Okay, I'm unmuted.
Good, you got it. Okay, cool. All right, so let me start my thing. I started the recording, right? I started it. Okay, good. All right, so let's look at, have you been through this and do you have any understanding yet? And do you have any specific questions before I just jump right in?
I have a lot of methylation problems, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So in here, in this phase one stage, you know, similar to what I've mentioned before, is really being careful about the caffeine. Maybe not so much as the Tylenol, but the caffeine and exposure to heterocyclic amines, which is charbroiled meats, the gas fumes, and those sorts of things. So I'd be wary of that. Do you have any family history or history yourself of breast cancer or any kind of other cancers?
No, I don't.
Good.
I do drink a lot of caffeine, though. I thought I could metabolize it. I guess not.
You can metabolize it, but you're taking away from your ability to detoxify your estrogens.
Oh, I see.
Right? So it's the same pathway that if we look at... see if I can find this one. If we go back on this one, right, this is using its higher risk of fibrocystic breast, uterine fibroids, and cancer. Not everybody that drinks coffee gets fibrocystic breasts, but when you've got these SNPs, you do. Your body, whenever it's trying to detoxify caffeine, it's like distracted away from detoxifying these estrogens that are happening all the time. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I do have fibrocystic breasts.
You do have fibrocystic breasts. So that getting rid of the caffeine can help that a lot. So is your way, is it coffee or is it green tea, black tea? What do you drink?
I drink coffee mostly, but then I'm switching to green tea.
Yeah, well, switch it on over. And, you know, the green tea has a smaller amount, but it also has a lot more protection.
Okay.
Okay. Have you done a Dutch test?
No, but I'm going to.
Yeah, I would do a Dutch test. And that way we get to see exactly what's going on in those pathways and help you to, you know, put the protection in place. In the meantime, all of these things here, avoid these, increase these, right? You know, the cruciferous vegetables, broccoli sprouts are super important. They have good sulforaphane in them, right? All of these things that you've reduced and the stuff I went through earlier when I said, and if you missed that part, I can't remember when you came on, the very first part that I did, I went through mm-hmm. in a lot of detail about all these pieces.
Okay.
So that's what I would recommend for you. Where are you? Okay. I had you open a minute ago.
Yeah.
Ha! Okay, here it is. It was a spreadsheet. There we go. Let's go down. I'm first going to just go down through your reds. You know, we have a lot of you have these NATs, right? You have a 2 and a 1. And again, if you look at this genetic genie one, I'll see if there's anything different in the NAT ones. Various drugs, tobacco, secondhand smoke, thirdhand smoke people are finding now is actually as problematic as secondhand. And that's like when you visit someone who smokes and they have it in their carpeting and in their furniture and all that. And you're breathing in those fumes. We're actually finding that that's as bad as secondhand smoke. So it's really important, like if you have friends in, you know, make your home a smoke-free home. But if you have friends that you visit or that you like to visit with and they are smokers, that you ask them not to smoke in front of you and you visit them on neutral territory rather than in their own homes.
Okay.
Okay. So avoid smoking, sulfa, drugs, pesticides. Another plug for the caffeine, right? And this one is a red. Well, yeah, this one's a red. Right, no, the Nat 2 is the red. Okay, but still, that's probably a good idea. Let me look at the Nat 2 part for you. Same thing with the Nat 2, right? This is really important because you have a red. And it breaks down these different drugs, higher incidence of cancer and drug toxicity. A lot of the toxins, you know, the same thing, the tobacco and the exhaust fumes and all that. So, you know, those are real important. And of course, increase your broccoli sprouts, cauliflower, etc. Okay?
Okay.
Right. So you have methylation, you said, which is coming up soon.
Yeah.
Glucuronidation looks good. Sulfation looks decent. Methylation. Okay. So you have a C677T and you have some other pathways. This is not terrible. B12, that same MMAB that we were just talking about with Heather, right? Okay. Only yours is a red. I think hers was a yellow. So lots of green leafy vegetables are important. You don't have homozygous and you only have one. So it's not necessarily important to be taking a folate supplement if you're eating lots of green leafy, so green smoothies, green juices, lots of salads, making, you know, some of the salad dressings that we teach with the greens right in the dressing itself, right? Those are the things that I would recommend for you on a regular basis. So far, caffeine, and the MMAB again was, let me just look that one up again. That was, yours is homozygous and I want to make sure that I get it. Oops, that's the advantage of having that other one open. Let me see. It has the page numbers on it. MMAB. There we go. MMAB. Actually, mine is green. Yay. 104.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was the adenosyl. I had to get, if you have a risk allele. Okay, so let me see your COMT status. COMT. Yeah, you're fine. Okay. So, you know, I think the adenosyl, are you taking any B12?
Yes. And I consistently in my blood when I get tested, it said it's high. It's always been high.
Yeah. So when it's high in your blood, it generally means it's low in your cells. Very consistently. I don't even test people's B12 anymore. I just test the actual. You look at MCV. So if you write this down and look on your blood work, MCV and homocysteine are going to give you a much better indicator of your B12 status than the B12 itself.
Okay.
Okay. And, you know, adenosyl, like I mentioned to Heather, might be a helpful form for you just because it can get into your mitochondria better.
Okay.
And a combination, right? If you're taking B12, you are taking B12, you said?
Yes. Yes.
Sir. Yeah. And are you taking methyl?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You did have your pages there. Good for you. You're taking methyl. Maybe get some adenosyl and just, you know, vary it up a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Sammy, and this one's in that pathway, like the MTHFR. Let me just look at the pathway again. It's right here. See if I can make this bigger. There we go. And it was the MTHFD1, right? That you had? Yeah, D1. Okay. So D1 is here. So, you know, your MTHFR is great, but you may be having trouble getting some of that, the methylation, the methyl groups down to that point. So, I mean, taking a folate might be a consideration. Right. Because, you know, I think, and you're not going to get, you need the methyl groups to push everything through. And it might give you more energy, protect your cells, protect your DNA repair. So you might consider a folate.
Okay.
Okay. Methylfolate. Yeah, so you have this gene that doesn't initiate the detox pathway. So even more so, avoiding caffeine, avoiding some of the toxic exposures, because even if your pathways, some of these looked good, but if your body can't initiate that pathway effectively, then you're going to need to make sure that you're not, you know, you're just avoiding the toxic exposures. Because the PON1, right, that gives you a little bit more exposure because of pesticides. And as much as we try to avoid them, right, and eat mostly organic food, if you're not eating mostly organic food, if you eat out a lot or eat at friend's house, then you may be exposed. But there's a lot of crud in the environment, right? You go to the park and the grass is sprayed with pesticides and herbicides, etc. So, you know, being really careful about your exposures there is good. Do you exercise?
Walking. That's it.
Okay. Do you work up a sweat when you walk?
I try to, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So BDNF, you know, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, your B vitamins are important. Your omega-3 fats are super important there. So I would say, you know, making sure that you're doing that stuff. If we look in the mental health genes section right here, and you'll see some of the stuff that's recommended for BDNF right here. Avoiding sugar. Do you eat sugar?
I'm very little. I've cut way back to, it's in some foods I might eat, but I don't buy it.
Okay. Yeah. So just be cognizant and read the labels and really keep it down. And when we do the metabolic reset next month, join us and do that really religiously for a month. And you're going to notice a huge difference. Heated and oxidized fat. So if you eat processed food or you eat out, they're generally going to be using fats that have been heated, and that's going to affect that brain-derived neurotrophic factor and give your brain less protection. Okay. Right? Exercise, we mentioned. Hydration is always important, but and omega-3 fats. Do you take any omega-3s? Do you?
I did, and I ran out. I don't notice a difference. What I've really noticed a difference is I thought I was drinking enough water, but I increased my water and I started taking, it's a homeopathic thing that I put in so I absorb the water.
Oh, the rehydration drops.
Yes,
yep.
That's what, it made a tremendous difference in how awesome. I feel.
On how you feel in terms of energy and clarity and all.
Less, yeah. Much less tired. And so I wasn't absorbing the water for some reason.
You weren't absorbing the water. A lot of people don't. And it's a lot of the processing that the water goes through, you know, purification. It comes from the ground and then it goes through the man-made equipment and it gets, and then it gets to get purified again. And it's like, by the time you get it, it doesn't have the spin and the vibrational energy to get into the cells appropriately. So that's great. That's why the homeopathic helps. I would, whether you were getting noticeable effects, the thing about omegas can be subtle. It's subtle biochemical inflammation, but also, you know, lipid management, the right kinds of lipids, the brain stuff. So, you know, omega-3 fats, I personally, I eat a lot of them. I eat a lot of walnuts and hemp seeds and chia seeds and flax, not so much flax. I don't like flax too much, but of the other three. And then I take an algae oil from, you know, a few times a week for that.
Which oil do you take?
It's called Diva, Diva Algae Omega, something like that. DEVA.
Okay.
Yeah. What were you taking? Were you taking fish oil or were you taking an algae oil?
I was taking cod liver oil.
Carson
cod liver oil.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's at least eating the foods are so super important. How's your sleep?
Oh, horrible, horrible. I don't fall asleep until 2 or 3 at night. Or all 2 right. or 3 in the morning. Yeah.
Wow. So what time do you get to bed?
I go to bed around 12, but I'll just read or something because I can't fall asleep.
Has this been a problem for a long time?
Yeah, I used to work nights, And I did for years, the majority of my work career. And I think I reset my clock the wrong way.
And then when you fall asleep, do you stay asleep?
Generally, I do.
Okay. Okay, there's an extreme way to reset, given that. Have you ever done like the just pull an all-nighter and then try to get it reset? Sometimes that resets the cycle, right, where you just don't go to bed at all. You just stay up, and then you go to bed at a reasonable hour that you would want to be going to sleep, like 9 or 10 o'clock the next night. Don't go to bed early. Like, don't take a nap. You'll be tired. But that sometimes resets it. I know it's extreme, but okay. It sometimes resets the clock, especially in somebody in your situation where you hadn't shift work for a long time. So that's worthwhile. You know, it's hard because if you, have you tried any sleep herbs before bed?
I've tried, yes, I have. I'm trying to think of, I take them, I can't think of the name, HP5 or something. It's a precursor to melatonin.
Oh, 5-HTP.
Yeah, that's, I take that, and I've tried melatonin, I've tried probably over the years, I've probably tried everything out there.
Everything possible. Well, if you haven't tried the whole sleep reset with the 24 hours, I would give that a go. I would give it a go. The other thing is, if you haven't done a Dutch test or an adrenal, I would do a Dutch test, but do a middle of the night, or see if you can get them to give you an extra vial so that you can do it and see what's going on. But you probably don't even need that. It's just a matter of looking to see what your rhythm looks like.
Okay.
And then getting involved. And sometimes you can see if it's off. You can do things to bring down the levels at certain time and bring up the levels at other time. The other thing with melatonin to naturally increase it and help you to sleep is going out within the first, half hour of waking up in the morning, going outside for 5 minutes and turning towards the sun, wherever that might be. Now, if you get up super early, then I would wait until the sun is up, even if it's not up, like there's clouds, right? And what that does, if you do it before noon, it's going to give your body the signal, okay, no more melatonin. And then it's going to help that melatonin get back in cycle.
Okay. Can I, I'm in rains where I'm at a lot in Oregon. Can I get a one of those lights?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Would that work? Yeah.
Yeah. And I would just do it before noon. Do it first thing in the morning, a full spectrum light. Yep. That's what I would do. It's better if you can get outside, even if it's not, on those really overcast days, like there's no sun coming through. But sometimes there's like a hint of it and you can get that. Do you do much in the way of animal fat, animal protein?
I used to, and I cut way back because of my ApoE.
Okay,
thing.
Good. Yeah,
my mom does have Alzheimer's.
She does, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That's the only one. You have this other one that's yellow, but I would be very, very careful with that. Very careful.
Okay.
Okay.
I use coconut oil, but I just use it as a moisturizer.
That's fine. That's not going to hurt. Yeah.
That's fine. Really dry skin.
Yeah. And coconut oils, it's a good moisturizer. It's good topically. No, don't worry about that. If you're going to eat, like Heather was saying, if I eat coconut, I'm eating the whole flesh, not the oil. A lot of people they call, oh, coconut's good. Coconut oil's even better. It's concentrated. No, we want to eat a whole food because we have the fiber and all the other nutrients that go with it. And with ApoEs, I would be careful. I wouldn't say you have to cut coconut out completely, but I wouldn't be doing coconut oil. Like the bulletproof coffees with like 2 tablespoons of coconut oil in it. It's like, who needs the extra calories to start with, right? And then some of the status with the dopamine. Do you have a tendency towards depression, lack of motivation?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so dopamine is an issue. I would make sure that you're doing good stomach acid, that your body is actually absorbing your protein, that you're getting enough protein.
Okay.
And then, you might consider some tyrosine supplementation. It's an amino acid that is a precursor to dopamine.
Okay.
And I would do that. I would probably do that in the morning. Okay. And let me look at your B6 because we're out of time here, but I want to see some of this other stuff. B6 is, B6 is okay. You know, make sure you're D, you're getting plenty of D, especially living up north and in a foggy area like that. You need to be taking some D and some A.
Yeah, my D has been good whenever I get tested.
Where is it at?
It's been 70 usually.
Good. Yeah, just do whatever it takes to keep it there. Yeah. Whatever it takes to keep it there. Let's see. The only last thing I want to look at is your collagen joint recovery. Do you tend to heal slowly from injuries?
Yes, I do. And I bruise easily. Yeah.
And you bruise easily. So you don't have a SNP. Well, the vitamin C SNP wasn't phenotyped. I don't see it here. It wasn't there. So we don't know. But vitamin C bioflavonoids, a specific bioflavonoid called rutin, R-U-T-I-N. R-U-T-I-N. Okay. Okay. And that would be helpful for that. Plus collagen protein support, but I don't like the plant. I like the plant-based ones because the animal ones scare me with the lead contamination and all that. So I would say like the Sun Warrior or the Glow, just a good, I do those almost every day. I just think it's a good insurance policy.
Okay.
Okay.
And I just have one real cool question. I'm knowing I'm done, but I worked in x-ray technology for, 35 years. And I noticed I have a SNP where I'm not detoxing well.
Yeah.
What should I do? Or
yeah, so supporting your, let me go back to your glutathione. I was going to say nitric oxide is something that's important for you. And one of my favorites is eating a lot of arugula.
Oh, okay.
Quite frankly. Because you do have... You do have some of these congenital, the hypercholesterolemia genes. So even more reason to control the saturated fat. You've got the FUT2, so you've got to make sure that you're doing bifidobacter, okay, probiotic containing foods on a regular basis, like every day if you can. And avoiding gluten.
Mm-hmm.
At the D2, yeah, and you do that already.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, those are all related to dopamine. And I was going to go back to your detox pathways. Yeah, this one, the initiation of the detox pathways. So, you know, I would say antioxidants, I'm looking to see what your glutathione pathway was. No, you know, glutathione can be super helpful. Vitamin C, glutathione. And then looking up in this section, this little presentation here, right? There's a lot of good stuff in here with the nutrients to support your detox phase too.
Okay.
I would say milk thistle is probably a good one. Without seeing your labs, I don't know if you have any liver markers that are elevated, but
I'm not sure, but I've been taking milk thistle for several months.
Okay, good. So that's a good one. Dandelion is good. Hawthorn berry. All of these things can be helpful. Burdock, you can just get it as a food and, you know, just do it in stir fries and things like that. And then your vitamin C and glutathione.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. So we are, oh boy, we're well into this. What time we start? So we're 2 hours in. What I would love to do is take a break and then see whoever is next on our list. It looks like Anya came in and who else? It looks like 18 people in now. So we got Jules, Anya came in, Angelica, Annette, hi. Juan, Heather. Jenny. Hi, Jenny. Judy says she's going to do it tomorrow, I think. Oh, no, Judy, we just did yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like everybody else is for tomorrow, but if they...
It looks like others are for tomorrow. So we'll see. And if anybody wants to go today, once we come back from break, to ease the load from tomorrow, that would be great. So let's take a break. I need to rest my vocal cords for a little bit and put away some of these files and clear my screen. Uh-huh. So let's take a break. It's let's go till 5:20. That'll give us a nice 25-minute break to just, you know, and go outside if it's nice outside, get a little bit of movement, get a little bit of oxygen, hydrate, 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 and then we'll see you back in about 20 minutes. Okay? Okay, I'm going to stop the recording. I'm going to put a big sign on my computer screen to say start the recording again. Yes.